This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. Not many people, at least people that I know, like talking about money. It can be hard to understand. It can lead to stress. It can lead to relationship strife. Kelly Keene is going right after this deeply held consumer insight with her latest book. It is called Talk Money to Me. Save well, spend some, and feel good about your money. Kelly's an author, personal finance educator, and all-around great human. Hello there.
Oh, hello, my friend.
It's right now.
You love talking about money.
I do, too.
I love talking about money.
Why isn't everyone like us?
I don't know.
I mean, everybody should be like us. Their lives would be so much better if they just did exactly what we said at all times.
Well, you know what? I remember seeing you on stage a number of times, and I loved your, like, what is money for?
Yeah.
And I think if, you know, people like yourself start to make it fun, and that's what the aim is of this book, that it's not the finger wagging.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about money more. So I love being on shows like yours because that's what we want.
Well, there is so much great stuff in this book, but I first want to answer focus on this fundamental question, and that is, how do we get people to talk about it? Because you and I can talk tips and tactics and strategies.
Yeah.
We can talk about information. We can do all that, and it will make no difference if people don't open their mouths to their spouses, to their parents, to their kids, to their advisors, to all the people who will make a big difference.
Here's a couple of issues. I think, and the book is interesting, the title's Talk Money to Me, because when people have money, the conversation is much easier. Like, it's RSP season. Should I go into a TFSA or an RSP?
Right.
That we can talk about. There's still some issues because people feel embarrassment and shame that they don't know more.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put that aside for a second. But when it comes to the lack of money, that's where people are not talking about it. Or, again, the embarrassment, the shame that comes with debt. We know that. I've been on your show before talking about how saddled Canadians are with debt. Your listeners know this. I think, Bruce, it's like we're back in the 1960s where, we used to whisper the word cancer.
Right.
Today we run for the cure. You would never, ever make someone feel shameful about having cancer. We've got Facebook support groups for them. But when it comes to a lack of money, which causes so many other issues, like you said, relationship stress, mental health issues, physical issues. People suffer in silence, and then they don't know who to reach out to. They're not seeing someone like a certified financial planner, a nonprofit credit counselor. They're thinking they're just going to try to solve it on their own, and you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can call up your credit card company and ask for a better rate. You can talk to your banker, but the reality is, when people are suffering with crippling debt, they don't know what's happening, they're scared. It's very unlikely they're going to have the confidence to negotiate on their own behalf.
Yeah. You write about some very clear topics and in a different way. I mean, I talk about this stuff all the time. One of the chapters is called Leaving Money on the Table, which I love because it kind of feels like, wow, if I just, I don't have to earn more or spend less, I just have to not leave it on the table.
Right.
Give us some of the examples that you talk about in that chapter that people could take action on.
There's so much. Yeah, exactly. And this is where a pro, as you were saying, can help you see those blind spots. So number one, women and men, by not negotiating their salaries and especially their starting salaries.
You say women and men, but really we mean women.
Mostly women.
Mostly women because they're not as assertive about it for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yes.
We've seen this in the data. So yes, we'll be equitable to say women and men, but really it's a call to action for women who aren't getting what they deserve.
Yeah, there's this great book called Women Don't Ask. It's a U.S. book, and I love this book, and the authors surmise that men and women, by not negotiating their starting salary, by the time they hit age 60, stand to lose $500,000. Women are obviously much more likely to not negotiate. They stand to lose, on average, $1 million.
Wow.
Now, what kind of retirement could you have if you had $1 million more flow into your life? That's one way that Canadians are leaving money on the table. Number two is not, like, digging into your pension plan, your RSP matching, stock options. It's estimated that $3 to $4 billion is being left on the table every year by Canadians not taking, like, this free money.
Right.
Again, it's RSP season. So maybe some of your listeners are like, well, you know, they're earning a decent amount, but they have no money. So they're not going to go and see an advisor or a financial planner or something of that sort. But maybe if they did go and see that pro, this is totally hypothetical. I'm not providing any advice here. here, but maybe it might be something like, hey, if you did an RSP loan, you've got this room you haven't used, you're going to get this nice juicy tax deduction because you're in a decent income bracket, and then you can use that to pay down on your debt or something like that. I'm just making this up. It's unlikely you're going to come to this conclusion on your own and just be like, well, I don't have any money. No one wants to talk to me. You know, I'm not going to go into that, right? So, it's, there's so many ways we're leaving money on the table.
I did like the way people engage with the company match on, you know, retirement savings and all that kind of stuff. I want to, the second topic that is particularly resonant to me is the car traps. You put this great story of Dave and Melissa. I loved how you painted this picture of them showing up at the dealership with their hungry twins.
Right?
It's like, okay, as a parent, never do that. Uh-huh. Terrible idea. They leave with two SUVs and a massive amount of debt. Now, a part of one of the many lessons is you say, don't take the water and the pretzels. What do you mean by that? I think it's fantastic.
The reciprocity rule.
Yeah.
We never think of this. This is deeply ingrained. It's an evolutionary kind of like, it's to make sure, like, first of all, we lived in tribes, right? And we relied on tribes. So if I had some extra meat and I didn't need it all, you got some, but then you went and picked some berries for me. And so we shared, right? So when I gave something, it's hardwired in our brain to want to give that back. So we think something so simple as, you know, you're thirsty on a hot day and the salesperson offers you a water, the kids are hungry and they've got some nice pretzels for you, that small act is enough to make you feel, you know, that you owe the salesperson something.
$120,000 in SUVs.
Leave. And then they felt so relieved because the salesperson answered, did all the research for them in the first hour, right?
Yeah.
So it's all these little things that I want readers to be aware of that we don't realize direct our buying decisions.
The other tip you had for the dealership is go at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So they're in quota time.
Exactly. They're tired too. So if you know that people suffer from decision fatigue, that means we're making a million decisions throughout the day. And then we usually go at the end of the day to see the financial planner, see our banker, go car shopping. But if you were replenished, you took the Friday off and then went at the end of the day when that salesperson is tired, they
Ooh, that's good.
They want the sale. They want that, you know, end of the month totals that their boss, you know, regardless if they had a good or a bad month. So flip the switch of what we're doing that's a mistake and then turn it on.
I almost think you could find out their home phone number and call them a couple times in the middle of the night just to wake them up so that they'd be incrementally more exhausted.
So then they're all tired. Then you can really use your negotiating
prowess.
You
also write eloquently about the sandwich generation, which is a huge, huge issue for people today. The point in particular that I want you to talk more about is understanding the value of time. What do you mean by that? And how does that relate to that?
And this is so counterintuitive to a book that you might think is talking all about saving money, making more money, things of that sort. I think probably because I went through it myself with my husband and looking after his mom, things of that sort. This is a reality for a lot of Canadians, is if you're not already in the sandwich generation, where
it's coming.
It is coming.
In fact, it's good news if it's coming because otherwise your parents aren't with you anymore.
Isn't that the truth?
So that's an empowered view of it's coming.
And it might be your parents. It might be your spouse's parents. I've had to help out with my mom, not financially, but it took my time. It meant lost time from work. So this is where I want readers to really understand, what are you making per hour? I want them to do a time audit, which sounds odd, but I want you to really look at you and your family. What are all the things that you do? And then, is that realistic that you should still be doing those things based on what you earn per hour? And even if all things were equal, but you hate that thing, the snow removal, the lawn care, the cleaning of the house, whatever it is, the grocery shopping, is it better for you to actually, yes, spend money, the $11.99 to have your groceries delivered? So you actually are less exhausted and enjoy your life more, especially when it comes to helping out parents. I think that's the only way to get through when they're not well and you need to be helping them, is to look at where does it make sense financially to hire things out that aren't exorbitant, right?
The book is Talk Money to Me. Kelly, I wish we had the entire day to talk. But at least we got a little bit of a snippet. Kelly Keene, the author of Talk Money to Me. Save well, spend some, and feel good about your money.